Hello and welcome to Dive In With Me, the podcast by the Fondation Aimé, supported by André Loche Foundation and Radio ARA. As you know, we are on air every third Tuesday at 7:30, and you can listen to our episodes on all streaming platforms. Today we are happy to welcome Sergio Roberto Gratteri. Sergio studied musicology and cultural management in Leuven, Venice and Rome, and continued then to develop his professional career in the field of cultural programming and art mediation with organizations such as the International Yehudin Menuhin Foundation, Europalia, Interpreti Veneziani, the Piano Fabric and La Monet. As coordinator of audience engagement music and transversal projects at Beaux-Arts, he developed new engagement concepts to attract new audiences for classical, jazz and world music by working with renowned orchestras and artists such as the Mahler Chamber Orchestra, London Symphony Orchestra, Joyce DiDonato and Jazz Lincoln Center. Always looking for innovative and interdisciplinary models, he has developed and co-programmed the Beaux-Arts Opening Music Night, the Big Bang Festival and the United Music of Brussels project, a unique collaboration between Beaux-Arts La Monet and the NOB. In 2021, he launched Das Haus, a new Brussels performance-based concept dedicated to innovative classical music projects. Inspired by his strong belief that art is a powerful tool for social cohesion, he has conceived and coordinated major urban projects such as Singing Brussels, Homelands, Places of Belonging, and Sounds for the Soul. Today we want to discuss more on his approach, how to engage new audiences, and how music and the arts can be used to be a tool for social cohesion. You'll also see that we will be talking for a very long time, so we decided to make this a two-episode. So you will hear a first part of our conversation this month and the next month. So welcome, Sergio.
Hello.
So for the sound check-in, we like to ask our guests which are their favorite songs and why. You know, what can you tell us about it? So which song would you like to choose?
Maybe as a first song, I would like to go for the Plunctus Caravaggio, which is a piece written by Jordi Savall, which is a famous viola da gamba player. Viola da gamba is a kind of the grandmother or grandfather of the cello. Someone who's really into early music, and it's from an album where he writes music for different paintings of the famous painter Caravaggio, which is very dramatic, very baroque, a lot of clair-obscur. And that specific piece, which is actually the Plunctus, a kind of a lament of Caravaggio, I chose because if you would ask me the question, which music would pour out of your soul, what really resonates with your soul, or we really want to get to know you, then that music, I think, says a lot about me.
So let's listen to it to learn more about you.
But it's actually not baroque, it's contemporary, but inspired by. Yeah, because baroque. he's yeah.
But it feels like very baroque, you know?
Absolutely, no, it is, I mean,
it's not baroque because he still lives.
He's still very much alive, and interesting family, by the way, the whole family, yeah. Savall. Yeah, it's because his wife was the famous Montserrat Figueras, which is a singer. Who died, and then he has two kids, Ferran and Ariana Savall, and they're one musical family. And I had the chance also to meet Ariana, which is a very beautiful voice, beautiful person. So yeah.
So you just said that this song like represents the sound of your soul, mm-hmm. or how your soul would if you could hear it, how it would sound. Mm-hmm. So maybe let's get into that. What is Sound of Your Sound for the Soul? Sorry. Can you explain a bit?
Project that that started, let's say, 3 years ago, and it's for everyone that goes in society, goes through a difficult moment in life, and that can be a burnout, can be depression, can be maybe that you lost someone in your life, or you're sick, or you have stress for your exams when you're at university, for instance, or in school. But can also be just that you don't know what it is, but you just know that it doesn't feel right. Then all those people that feel then that this is for them or this is them, they can just apply, and then we send one professional musician to the home of the personal home of that person, and then that musician will listen to the story of and the problem of the person, and inspired by it, will then perform just for that person. So it's a one-on-one experience, a kind of, you can call it a kind of a musical echo or musical resonance to the world of that moment of that person, or that difficult moment that the person is going through.
And what are they playing? Are they like preparing a program, or are they improvising on what the story is?
It can be both. First of all, normally, because we work with two audiences, first of all, we work with the main audience, big audiences that can just apply to our website. And then you have also, we work with a lot of social organizations, hospitals, elderly homes, youth houses. And then we work with someone who is responsible on the spot, and then who will make a selection of the people in need, because not everyone, like the main group, will automatically come to us, but they both can benefit a lot. And so how it works then, beforehand we know mostly the issues that the people are having, and so the musician can already inspire him or herself on that, thinking of a piece that could work with that. But what often happens is that on the spot itself, they hear again the problem, and they maybe had an idea, but they feel another energy, another vibe, and then they decide to play something completely different, or indeed to improvise on what is hanging in the air at that moment.
And how do you, like in social settings, maybe how do you get people to explain their situation or go into what they feel at the moment and why they would benefit from it?
Well, first of all, it's very important that they are briefed before by the person of trust that they have in the organization, so that people really know what is going to happen, because they really need to be okay with that. We are not jumping in or knocking the door and say, hey, surprise, we hear that you have a problem. No, if they don't, because we can also give it as a gift to someone, but the person really needs to be okay with it. That's one thing. And maybe for me, let's say 60% of the project is the fact that all these musicians that are in the project, they are all very professional. I mean, they from top scenes in Europe, so they tour a lot, but they're also very warm personalities when we choose them, but that's not good enough. They all trained. So they get a training in empathic listening, they get a training in connective communication, and so they know how to create a safe space both for themselves and for the participant, and therefore also how to make them talk, how to start a dialogue with those people, and how to explain the project to make it actually into an experience that is lasting and has an impact on the person's life.
It's really nice because we have something similar. It's called Musik Schenken, but we only do it for Christmas, and then people can gift like a concert at home, and everybody that is a musician can just volunteer for it and go play concerts. So it's a bit the concept's a bit different, because we also have kid groups sometimes that go play for an elderly person, and then it's very touching as well. So it's the same, but also not, because it's on different levels. But I really like the idea of the empathic listening and of the people explaining their stories and just sharing what they feel, and then a musician like sharing what they heard and how they would like impersonate that in music.
Yeah, and also, I mean, the success of the story until now, because we get a lot of feedback, we ask always feedback to everyone. And it's, yes, the music, of course, is a very important element, but it's more for the people, it's even more the fact that someone is listening to them, and also that they give a gift, it's a bit like the Schenken, but they give a gift that is very unique, because the gift would be completely different if it's another person with another story. So they really need that input. So for us, it's very important to get that input, to get that problem, to get that issue from the person, because this is what makes the project personalized and measure made. And this exactly, this element is what people like so much. They feel very special, because not only did someone listen, but also they gave something that they know that they will like. Yeah. I mean, that the musician knows that the person will like it because it resonates. And then you can play, and that's the interesting thing, you can play almost everything. Mm-hmm. We had a beautiful reportage, because it's all private, but we once had the chance to film one of those encounters, which was a newspaper that did that. And the person in the musician that was involved, he played a very contemporary piece, which I would not put in the car to sing along with, but nevertheless, it did the job, because it was the right music for that moment and for that emotion, and therefore the person, the participant, was very much moved, even though it was not a sing along. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's the whole context of the person listening, and yeah, and I can understand why you don't want to. Why these concerts are private and why you don't want to be there, because you would just interrupt the intimacy. And I think like the concert which was filmed felt surely different than all the others might feel for the musician, because you feel like observed maybe. No?
Sorry. Not so much apparently, because they were because I asked them to be very, very discreet. Yeah. And of course, they were there for a longer time. So the sessions are like, let's say, 45 minutes, but they, in this case, was 1 hour. So after a while, you forget cameras, especially if they're not in your face. It's not a real interview in your face. It's just so in that sense, that was good, because I think the musician and also the participant, they were really true. They were really real. So that was a good thing. And I think you can really feel that there were emotions there. And no, that was not the biggest problem.
And did you also go back to people that already had the benefit of a concert? So have there already been people that benefited of like one or two?
No. Yes, we go. We start to go back now to understand then how long it works, because we don't have any therapeutical intention or pretension, I would even call it. But we just want to give a bit of lightness to take them out of the bubble that they're in, and this is what they appreciate the most. But because of the fact that it's individual, because of the fact that it's just for them, the impact, the quality impact of it is something that will keep on going for a while. Also, in the end of the session, the musician gives a postcard on which they write the pieces that they played, or maybe some listening keys or other pieces that they could listen to, so that it keeps on working. And so people remember, now we can speak, I mean, we talked to people who did it 2 years ago, they still remember the feeling they had with it, and they can evoke it again. How did it make it feel? How it gave them lightness or a different perspective on their problem through music. So yes, and the other question that you asked is, as I go back to them, I forgot.
You know, I was just wondering, because as you said, it's such a magical moment that, I don't know, I would feel like I would want to grasp it again, you know, just have it like once again, because it's a memory that you cannot recreate, so only in your head. Yeah, yeah. But it's also very privileged, or in my mind, it's very a privileged moment of a musician just playing for you. And exactly what, playing exactly what you need. That I would feel like I don't know, I would feel very unsatisfied to not have it again.
Ah, interesting, interesting. Well, fair enough, let's say. I have the opposite.
I don't talk from experience. I don't want to project anything.
It's no. Yeah, yeah. No, actually, if I think back of personally then, things that really marked me in life, they only happened once in my life. And I think if I would do them several times, then I would, I'm not saying I would forget them easier, but they would become less special for me. But this is a very personal thing too. So in that sense, I remember, for instance, when I was a kid and my parents, they took me to Prague, and there was this moment that really touched me. I was passing a church, and there was a cellist in the outside, in a corner of the church, sitting alone, just playing. I think it was Bach. I can't remember what he played, but it was beautiful music, and it really marked me. And it that's where my love for cello started, together with Jordi Savall via the Viola da Gamba. And I think if I, that trip, or even in the next years, would have heard several cellists in corners of the church, I don't think it would have marked me that much, personally. Yeah. So in that sense, but yeah, I mean, everyone is different than that. And I think some people would indeed have loved to hear it again.
No, but I can understand where you're coming from. It's more of like I see it maybe in my mind, I see it more as a concert setting. And I like to see concerts again. I like to see musicians on stage. Maybe it's, I'm just coming from, because I have not experienced it in as it is now, that just in my mind, I'm projecting another thing on it. But when you explain it like that, yeah, it makes sense to just do it once. Yeah. So maybe it's time to listen to some music again.
I think the next one it really fits to the project. This is a piece, it's an aria from an opera. From Nicola Porpora, which is an Italian composer from the Baroque time. So this is 18th century. And it is a piece. Why is it so important? Why is it linked to the project? Because it is written, it's sang originally. It was made famous by Farinelli. Farinelli was a famous castrato, which is a person that in the 17th and 18th century, it was a whole class of musicians. There are singers that have been, as the word says it, castrated to make them better singers, to make them sing in a way that we cannot imagine what it is anymore nowadays. It's nor female nor male, the voice. At the time, they said it's angelic. It's as if an angel was singing. They also had very, very tough training, so they could do things that nowadays singers find very difficult. They had conservatory for 10 years sometimes. And Farinelli was one of the best. It's a very controversial technique, of course, because it was forbidden, but at the same time, it was very lucrative to do it. And Farinelli was, well, every year in Naples, in the surroundings of Naples alone, if I'm not mistaken, those were like 2,000 kids at the age of 6, 7, 8 were castrated before they lost they changed the voice. And every year for decades, and only 35 castratos are people that we know still, that are famous, that had real fame. And Farinelli was maybe the top of that. And he was so famous and so good that he was brought to Spain. He was Italian, but he was brought to Spain to King Charles at the time, who was suffering of, as they would call it at the time, melancholia, but it was actually just a heavy depression, but serious depression, so manic depression. And he would not function as a king anymore. And at the time, kings were leaders, so they would run a country. And the only thing that would get him out of bed was the voice of Farinelli. And every evening, Farinelli would have to sing three arias, and one of them is the song that we're going to hear now, which would make the king smile again.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone for listening. Dive In With Me is a show by the Fondation Aimé, supported by the André Loche Foundation. Thank you to Radio Ara for hosting the show and for supporting us on this venture. Thank you to Taipan for our beautiful jingle. You can also listen to this show and all the other ones on every streaming platform. See you next month!